Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and or good evening to you wherever you are. This is Reverend Esther R. Scott of New Birth Ministries wishing you victory, Yeshua, love, joy, peace, wit, wealth, success, patience, virtue, good health, money, mercy, grace, support, wisdom, positivity, abundance, prosperity, greatness, comfort, and relief. Church Online with me, Reverend Essie, every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is for those who cannot attend the usual brick-and-mortar service who need to hear the word. Amen. Know that we're praying for you and for God to send you favor quickly. Also remember that troubles don't last always. You have the victory, my friend. God bless. Check out our website at revessie.org. Thank you, Father God, for being the lovely, wonderful, excellent God that you are to us. We owe you our lives for what Jesus did on the cross for us. Nobody else would do that for us. Father God, I ask that you use me today to teach this lesson about necromancy so that others will understand and know that it is not of you to be in that practice. Father God, we lift up all the prayer requests that we receive to you. We thank you for rising us up another day to be able to see the sun and to smell your fresh air. And for those that can't, we pray that they one day will be able to. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Lord and our Savior. And may this session today draw somebody to the foot of the cross and say, I accept you, Jesus, I do. Hallelujah and amen. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Necromancy is the art of divination through alleged communication with the dead. I'm going to be speaking here about people that talk to the dead, who have made a habit of doing it. And we're going to find out exactly what the Bible says about it, and we'll go from there. And I hope that you learned something from this, watching this video. I thank you for watching my video. And I pray that your day has been going good for you and that your life is going to go good for you and that God will give you favor as long as you serve him and go according to his will. And amen. I'm going to start out with Deuteronomy chapter 18. If you want to go get your Bible, turn your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 13. And it says, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. This is God telling us outright that he does not want us to consult anything or anyone else besides him when we are in need and when we need somebody to talk to. You know, God tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us, and he is always with us. Well, on that matter, then we shouldn't need anybody else to talk to besides him. We shouldn't put anybody else first. Yes, there are priests and there are pastors and there are counselors. There's different people that you can go to, which is good. But God wants you to put him first. Because those count, just because they have a title before their name, or because they've done something for a long time, doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to give you the correct information. There's only one person that can give you the correct information, and that is God Almighty. So, like it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 18, don't consult witches, necromancers. Don't put your children, pass your children through the fire. There's people who are in demonology or witchcraft or
And people have sacrificed their children, lay them on the altar and sacrifice their children and drink the blood and everything for, and don't do that. God does not, it's an abomination. When you see God using the word abomination, that's a strong word. That means he absolutely detests what you're doing and hates what you're doing. So that is telling us not to consult anybody else. Not the lady up on the highway that charges $35 an hour so that she can make copies of your loved one and a candle, and you light the candle and say a little chant and they'll love you forever. You know, not that kind of stuff. You don't have to. You have to watch who you talk to. Where you go. No tarot cards. No Ouija boards. Nothing like that. You go straight to God. Each and every one of us have a personal relationship with God. And believe it or not, there are religions out there that feel that they cannot go straight to God. They feel that they have to go to a man first. And God is telling us to go to him first. Then if you don't feel, you know, that you've gotten your answer quick enough, you know, because we want everything, this is a microwave society. If you don't feel like you got your answer quick enough, then you can go to a man and get confirmation of what God would tell you or has told you in your life. But you don't put man first. The Random House Dictionary says that divination means this: an attempt to foretell events or discover knowledge by occult or supernatural means, perception by intuition, ESP, crystal balls, Ouija boards, tarot cards, and the like. The practice of necromancy or necromancy, all depends on how you want to pronounce it, like caramel and caramel, okay? You know, harassment and harassment. Okay, the word is darash. I'm giving you Greek and Hebrew when I speak. The word is darash, D-A-R-A-S-H, which means to follow, pursuit, search, seek, or ask, to worship. See the word worship? To care for, diligently, inquire, require, or crying to the dead, or inquisition. And some of these holidays that we worship here in America, we have to be very careful, because some of these holidays came out of crying to the dead. There's a few of them. I can think of one right now, but I won't say one. But there's a couple holidays you have to be very careful where people cry out to the dead. And here in America, we know the major one. And then there's some Spanish ones, and there's other cultures that leave food out. One holiday came about by this certain culture putting food plates out at the end of the town. They would go to the end of the town and put plates out. I believe it's All Souls Night. They put plates of food out, big festive plates, and they would leave it there overnight. And they would say that the dead ate the food, which most likely the dogs ate the food, you know. And that's where it came from. That's where I believe it's All Souls Night. But they put plates out for the dead, and we're going to find out about the dead. We're going to find out whether the dead ate the food or whether the dogs ate the food as we go on with this study. Okay? So be careful what holidays you worship. If it doesn't have anything to do with God, then don't have anything to do with the holiday. Ecclesiastes 9:5, very important for you to know here. It says, the dead know not anything. Ecclesiastes 9:5 tells us that the dead know not anything. So my question is, if the dead know not anything, who are we talking to whenever we talk to the dead? Whenever we call ourselves talking to Aunt Susie and Uncle Joe, Cousin Billy. Ecclesiastes 9:5 says, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither, okay, now I'm not going to, because somebody's going to say, oh, you're just chopping up the scripture, that means that they know something, but they don't know anything about dying. Now listen, it says the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. So you see, the dead know not anything, and neither do they have a reward, for the memory of them are forgotten. So answer me this. When you go to a seance, oh, you've given them, what, $100, $200, $75, whatever they charge you. Now, you're giving up your hard-earned money. Got to watch who you give your money to. When you go to a seance, and they're sitting at the table, and the table's shaking, and then it rises, and then whoever the lady's sitting there, or the guy's sitting there, and their voice changes, and Uncle Bobby starts talking to you from the dead, who are you talking to? If the Bible says that the dead know not anything, who's talking to you in Uncle Bobby's voice? Seemingly Uncle Bobby's voice. It's not Uncle Bobby. It's not who you expect for it to be. You know, the enemy has demons out there that mock people. Have you ever heard of someone having a mocking spirit? They like to copy what other people do. They'll copy your voice, or they'll copy your style, or they'll copy your hair, they'll copy your the way you dress. There's some people, the way you sing, the way you work, there's some people with a mocking spirit. Instead of them adopting their own style of doing things, they easily catch on to other people's styles. But this is what God, this is what the demons do. This is what Satan's demons do. The devils copy. And when you're talking to this Uncle Bobby or Aunt Jane or whoever it is you're talking, you want to talk to at a seance, you are being deceived. You are being fooled. This demon knows all of Uncle Bobby's business. Yes, he's going to tell you some things that Uncle Bobby did, or where Uncle Bobby left the ring or the jewelry or the money or whatever. They're going to tell you things. They're going to deceive you into thinking that's who you're talking to. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:5, the dead know not anything. So who are you talking to? And Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever you do, do it. Because there is no work, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. In other words, God is telling you that if you have something that needs to be done on this side of the grave, you better get it done, because there's not going to be any time to do it on the other side of the grave. You're not going to be able to do it after you're dead. Once you're gone, you're gone. Hosea 13:4-14, God says, any person that can talk to somebody or take them away from their grave is God himself. No necromancer, no witch, no tarot cards, no seances. So you are being deceived if you think that you're talking to the dead one. I'm getting ahead of myself, but remember King Saul wanted to talk to Samuel after Samuel died. Samuel was his consultant. Samuel was a seer. The Bible calls him a seer. Samuel was a prophet. Well, Samuel died, and he wasn't around to help out King Saul anymore. So what did King Saul do? He went to a witch. He went to a witch, caught himself talking to Samuel, and lost the battle and died. Lost his entire kingdom. Death came upon him. He lost his entire kingdom. Psalms 115:17. Says, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. See, once you go down to the silence, once you're dead, you're dead. Now, there are people who go to their graves, go to the graves of their loved ones, and they talk to their loved ones. You know, for a while, that's okay, because you're in a grieving process, you miss that loved one, and you just need someone to talk to. Some of those wives or husbands have been with their mate for so long, there's nobody left for them to talk to. And their mind refuses to let go for a while. But that's okay while you're in the grieving process. But after a while, the grieving process should end. If you want to have a healthy life the rest of your life, or a healthy new beginning, however you want to call it, I say that you must let go. Just keep good memories of that person that you loved, or that you had a soul tie with, a bind. You were bound with this person on this earth, And you did things together. You went to bed together. You raised up in the morning together. You worked together. And they were your life partner. It's okay for a while, but after a while, the grieving process should end. And instead of you talking to someone who is no longer here, you should by rights be talking to God's Holy Spirit, who is here. Amen. Psalms 88:10 says, "Wilt thou show wonders to the dead?" Ecclesiastes 4:2, "I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive." There are people who praise the dead more than they praise the living who are still alive. They would rather give hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars to the dead who know nothing than to give some hungry family, some poor family, $20 or $30 so they can buy food to eat. That's not good. And God is not gonna like that. If you would rather give hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars, whatever the case is, to someone that's already dead, people who are already gone on to their grave, then somebody's bilking you out of your dollars. When somebody's dead, you can't help them. You can't bring them back. I've heard of people paying to get people out of purgatory or whatever. Hell, I don't know, whatever it is. Purgatory, hell, whatever. You cannot decide where a soul is going to go. Money will not pay for it. You've been deceived. Only God, you heard what I said earlier, God said he's the only one that could, Hosea 13, 4 to 14, God said he is the only one that will ransom somebody from the power of the grave. Now what is your money doing? Where's your money going? You can't pay money to keep, I'm not going to mention who it is, but I heard there's some people who actually give hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep their loved ones from going to hell. You're giving that to man. You're being built. Bushwhacked. Amen? They're taking your money. Only God can do that. You better concern yourself with your own soul. Have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's who you should be concerned about. And guess what? That's free. You don't have to pay for it. Ecclesiastes 4:2, "I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive." It speaks of weariness of life. The weariness of life. Like Jonah. Jonah was more concerned about a dead gourd more than a city. The city of Nineveh. Jonah was sinning. Read Jonah 4:9-11. He was more concerned about a dead gourd than the spiritual happiness and comfort of an entire city. See, he was concerned about material things instead of the spiritual thing. Matthew 22:32, "God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." John 5:25, "Dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and live." In God's time, the dead shall hear the voice of only the Son of God, not yours. You cannot raise anybody up out of the grave. Amen. Romans 14:9. Christ is the Lord of both the living and the dead. You must go through Jesus. He is the only door. Amen. For he is the life. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "The dead in Christ shall rise first." So if you want to rise up first, when God raises us all up out of that grave, You better have Christ as your Savior. Revelations 20, verse 5. The best of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. The dead didn't live until 1,000 years were finished. They are not going to get up until God's ready to raise them up. Amen. Revelations 20:12. Read Revelations 20:12 about the rising up of the dead. Hades is Greek. Hades means the abode of the dead, is a place where the dead are. Luke 16:23-31. Let me go to Luke 16:23-31, and I'll read it. And it says, now I'm going to start with 20, okay? This is a really good story that I'd like to read. And it says, 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. See, the rich man died, the beggar died, and they both went to separate places. The rich man woke up in a bad place, and he looked up and saw the poor man, who was Lazarus, in Abraham's bosom. And in hell, it says, and in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy. Now all of a sudden, Abraham's his father. Before, money was. He cried up and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, he called him son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. Abraham's telling the rich man, he said, in life, when you were living, you got all good things, and Lazarus got nothing. He got all evil things, bad things. And Abraham goes on to say, but now he is comforted, but thou art tormented. And besides all this, listen to this, I'm on verse 26. It's St. Luke 16, verse 26. Abraham goes on to say, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. See, Abraham was telling the rich man, there's something in between me and thee. We can't get to you, and you can't get to us. So if you want to be on God's side, I accept you. I tell you now, accept his son as your personal savior, because it's going to get to a point where you're not going to be able to go to, when you're in hell, you're done. Stick a fork in you, because you're done. It's over. Amen. There's torment in hell. Notice when I read that story, it says he lifted his eyes up and he was in hell. He was tormented. There's torment in hell. Something between heaven and hell. Happiness or torment. You can either have happiness in heaven or torment in hell. It's that simple. God is not going to send anyone from the dead to teach you what the living prophets should and would teach you. God's not going to send anybody from the dead to teach you anything. Amen. No, Bruce Lee is not coming back, the great master, to teach you how to do Kung Fu. Minnie Riperton's not going to come back from the dead to teach you how to sing. Amen. Learned that lesson from that story as well. Read it. Luke 16. Read the story. Amen. Acts 17:16-34 speaks of idolatry. And there's an inscription that says, to the unknown God. See, worshiping idols, the Godhead is the Trinity. And it says, the Godhead is not like gold, silver, or stone, graven by art and man's device. And God commands these men to repent. See, God is not like stone. Your statues are not going to save you. You can bow down and pray to all the statues you want. You can pray statues of Mother Mary. You can pray to Buddha. You can pray to anybody you want. God is not in it. You're praying to a cold stone statue. Statues can't save you. Only Jesus can save you. Mother Mary can't save you. Mother Mary did not shed an ounce of blood on the cross to save you and I from our sin. You pray, the only living one that you should pray to is Jesus, the only one that died and came back alive and stayed alive. If you remember, Lazarus, Jesus' best friend, died, and Jesus brought him back alive, and Mary of Martha was there. He's a little upset because it took Jesus a long time to get there. Well, Jesus wasn't in a hurry because he knew he had all power to raise Lazarus from the dead. But there came a time when Lazarus did die again and stayed dead. Amen. See, Jesus died, came back alive, and stayed alive. He's sitting on the right-hand side of God. Now, why would you talk to a statue? Why would you talk to cold cement when you have a warm, living Savior? Amen. Revelations 15:3, which says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thy King of saints. Jesus is the King of saints. Not Buddha, not Mary, not Muhammad. Jesus is the King of saints. Jesus is the only one that shed his blood on the cross and died and came back alive for us. Muhammad did not come back. Buddha did not come back. Mary did not. Much to everybody else's thoughts, Mary did not come back from the dead. Now, they talk about Mary being the Queen of Heaven. But Mary, if you look in the beginning of the Bible, and you just read up on it, God speaks about that. God speaks about people who worship the Queen of Heaven, and he was not happy about it. It's in Jeremiah 44. That's it. Jeremiah 44. If you look in Jeremiah chapter 44, read verse 17, 18, 19, 22, 23, 25. It says, the Lord could no longer bear the people that were burning incense to the Queen of Heaven. And in verse 23, it says, because ye have burned incense, and which means praying. In the Old Testament, burning incense was a sign of New Testament prayer. And it says in verse 23, because you have prayed, and because you have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in His law, nor in His statutes, not statues, statutes, nor in His testimonies, therefore this evil has happened unto you as at this day. See, when you worship that Queen of Heaven, you're sinning against God. A lot of people don't like to hear that. Just had to throw that in. Amen. Revelations 20 verse 12 says, for the small and great ones will be judged, those in the pews and those in the pulpits. And if you want to read about statue worship more, go to Leviticus 26 verses 1 to 13. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 1 to 13. There it is. It tells you about statues, worshiping statues and things instead of worshiping God. Amen. Isaiah 8:19 speaks of spiritual darkness of wizards. Genesis 44, 5, 7, and 15. Only Joseph could divine. It was God's gift. God sets people to do those things as prophets through God's Spirit, not through man himself. If you know any man that's called himself prophesying and taking credit for it instead of giving God credit for it, I suggest you stay away from that person. Numbers 22, verse 7, earthly reward of divination. It talks about the earthly reward of divination. And notice it says earthly reward, not heavenly reward. You don't want just an earthly reward, reading tarot cards, you get money for it, you get praise for it. You want a heavenly reward. Amen. Deuteronomy 18:14. Sinning nations were superstitious and diviners. See, superstition doesn't get you anywhere. Superstition about walking under ladders and putting umbrellas up over your head inside of a house and rabbit's feet and stuff like that. Well, I feel sorry for the rabbit that lost his foot so that some stupid human could think they have good luck. You'd rather have a rabbit's foot in your pocket than to have Jesus in your heart. Amen. 1 Samuel 6:2, godly diviners. Nothing about them raising dead, only consulters. The godly people who did this for people, the consulters, they did not raise anybody from the dead. Samuel didn't raise anybody from the dead. David didn't raise anybody from the dead. None of those people. The only one that did was Jesus. Jeremiah 27:9. God warns not to pay attention to diviners and enchanters. Diviners, diviners, and enchanters. Tomato, tomatoes, you know, so, however you want to say it. Ezekiel 13:23. The king of Babylon used divination and consulted with images which were false gods, and they called them teraphim. Consulted with images which were false gods. Images. Ghosts, statues, things like that. Lucky prayers. You know, people have lucky, say this prayer 9 times a day, 3 times a day or whatever, 3 times, and you'll have good luck and you'll be blessed financially. That's false gods. Just because God blessed you one way doesn't mean He's going to use the same way to bless you the second time. You know? Zechariah 10:2, divinators saw lies and told false dreams and scattered the sheep. The sheep had no shepherd. So you get these people in the pulpits and stuff, and they call herself, you know, divinating. This is going to happen and that's going to happen, and I, because God said so. I mean, when they put God's signature on it, and they say God said, the earth is going to end May 19th, 2008. And the earth doesn't end May 19th, 2008. They're false people, false shepherds. God said you can have a house and a car too. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to have this. God wants you to have that. God wants you to have everything but Jesus as far as they're concerned. Everything but Jesus. Yeah, God wants you to have nice things, but you have to consult with Him and wait on His will. You ought to see the people flocking to church because they think they're going to get that double-door garage and that swimming pool. Boy, I'm telling you, people fall for anything. Amen. Amen. Acts 16:16, we all know the story. There was a damsel who was possessed of evil spirits, the evil spirit of divination. And she, God, she met Paul and Silas, and Paul and Silas called that thing up out of her. People were making money on this woman. Acts 16, go to Acts 16 when you get a chance and read it. People was making money off of this woman. It says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And the same followed, she followed Paul and the rest that was with him and cried. She said, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. See, doesn't the Bible say that even demons are succumbed to you? They'll bow down to you? The spirit of divination within this woman knew who Paul and Silas and his band that was with him were and announced that he was a servant of the Most High God, men of the Most High God. She did it for a long time. You can only imagine it was getting on Paul's nerves. She did it for a long time. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit. See, Paul got tired of it. It's like a mocking spirit. He knew he's a man of God. He didn't need this person going around saying, these are the men of the Most High God, and they can get you saved. These are the men. Paul got tired of that. And it says he said to the spirit. He didn't hold a conversation with the spirit. He didn't ask the spirit questions. He turned around and he said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And then they had Paul and Silas get in trouble, and on goes. Just read the rest of the story there. See, Paul and Silas dipped in their pockets. So, I will wrap this entire thing up by saying to you, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's only one way that you can get your questions answered. There's only one way that you can get to God, not through statues, not through Mother Mary, not through paying way people's way out of purgatory or hell or whatever, and not by little trinkets. There's only one way. Jesus is the mediator. If you remember in my other videos, I was telling you that God is the creator. He created all things. Jesus is the mediator. Now the Holy Spirit is the administrator. So if you have any other questions about necromancy, ask the Holy Spirit. He'll be glad to answer your questions for you. God bless you, and if you have any other questions, feel free to email me. Stay away from the people who only want your money, okay? God doesn't want your money. He doesn't need it. God walks on gold. If he walks on gold, what is he going to do with your dollar bill? God doesn't want your money. God loves you. Go to him. There's only one way. Jesus is the mediator. If you remember in my other videos, I was telling you that God is the creator. He created all things. Jesus is the mediator. Now the Holy Spirit is the administrator. So if you have any other questions about necromancy, Ask the Holy Spirit. He'll be glad to answer your questions for you. If you haven't accepted his son Jesus yet, accept Jesus Christ. All you have to do is say, God, forgive me of my sin. I'm so sorry for sinning against you. Forgive me of my sins. I accept your son Jesus Christ as my Savior. I accept him as my Savior. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can walk with you, so that I could, like you said, live before you and be holy and clean. I don't know how to do it, Lord, but I'm trusting that you'll teach me. Amen. Amen. God bless you.